The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
So you, Tuck, you have to tell me if this is close.
Yep.
Maschi Soyo.
Very close, yeah.
Hey.
So what did I say?
You said that was tasty.
Yeah. I got it. Haremaiki, Dietary Requirements, the Spinoff's Food Podcast. Each month we get together to talk about the cultural, social and political function of food. And we're joined by some of the buzziest people in the New Zealand food scene. It's also a really good excuse to eat and drink delicious things. Today we'll be drinking soju at 10 o'clock in the morning. Ooh. I'm unsure if that's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm your host, Simon Day, and as always, I'm joined by the Spinoff's food editor, Alice Neville.
Kia ora.
And hospitality boss, Sophie Gilmore.
Good morning.
Who just celebrated her birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Sophie.
Happy birthday, Sophie.
Thanks very much, guys.
Today, we're also joined by Chef Yutak Sun to celebrate Chuseok. Did I get that close?
Yeah, no, you got that perfectly.
Which is the equivalent of, is Korean Thanksgiving close?
Yep.
And it's the most important eating event in the Korean calendar, is that right?
Yes, yeah, a lot of food.
Already my favourite holiday in Korea.
Sophie's going to have to break her intermittent fasting to participate today.
Yeah, twist my rubber arm.
Quickly, a message from our sponsors, because this podcast and all our food coverage would not be possible without the support of the wonderful Freedom Farms. They believe that everyone who eats meat has a responsibility to know how the animal has been farmed, and their pork, bacon, and free-range eggs are really delicious, and we wouldn't be here without them. So please buy their goods and just send them lots of love. So post-lockdown one, Yutak took the reins in the kitchen at the Shed, the restaurant at Waiheke's Te Moto Vineyard. Very impressive pedigree coming from places like Orphan's Kitchen, Sea Dart, and Black Estate. And we're really honoured to be able to celebrate Chuseok with you. Can you tell us a little bit about the holiday and how you'd celebrate it traditionally?
So, like, traditionally, Chuseok for Thanksgiving, it's the end of harvest in Korea. So you have a lot of plentiful food. It's also the time where you make kimchi. And you make, I don't know, buckets, tons of it, so that you can preserve it for the winter.
Every family does.
Yeah, I'm probably less so now with modern times, but back in the days, a lot of families will get together and make kimchi and then have that preserved for the winter. But it's just giving thanks to the ancestors as well as the people around you.
And people kind of travel around to visit their family, is that?
Yeah, you do not want to be driving in Chuseok.
Jihee, our Korean colleague at the Spinoff, said they'd kind of advise people to not go driving, go visiting their relatives because of COVID.
Yeah. It must be really hard because that's like the one time a year that, you know, you see like long relatives and maybe your parents that live rurally as well.
Yeah.
And you, just to touch on your cooking, because you've cooked in restaurants that aren't specifically Korean.
No, yeah.
But how does Korean food and the approach and the understanding of food from your heritage influence the way you work in these kitchens?
Working in these kitchens, it's been a big learning curve in terms of how I approach my heritage and discovering my heritage as well. I recently went back to Korea a year ago now, and before that, it was my first time in 7 years since I've been back, and there was so much discovery, so much to learn about the culture, and it was beautiful that I can do that through food. I'm not fluent in my language, but catching up with my auntie and my mom and my relatives, I could still communicate with them with food.
How old were you when you came here?
I was 8 years old.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Grew up in the North Shore.
I think that's a really interesting point, is there's no two better ways to learn about a culture or participate with one than language or food.
Yes.
And if you don't have one, the other really helps.
Yeah.
I lived in Denmark for a year, and one of my Kiwi cousins married a Dane, and I joined them for Christmas, which is a really important part of Danish culture, you know, that eat. And there were an older generation there that didn't speak English at all. And it didn't matter. We were able to communicate and participate with each other through, you know, this crazy 9-course traditional Danish feast.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a wonderful, powerful part of food. And part of what you're doing, this Chosok in Auckland, New Zealand, or are the packages going out beyond?
No, it was just Auckland.
But should we talk about the, because we haven't, you know, the satellites collab. Yes.
But that's something you're doing, this Chosok with in Auckland, with the food packages that you're sending out. It's a holiday that I wouldn't have heard of without this campaign. So can you tell us a little bit about what's involved and what we're eating?
The kwaja or kaja. Kwaja means snack and kaja means like let's go. This is all organized through satellites, through the Korean embassy, and what we're going to be eating in the recipe books. They're Korean food, but you wouldn't eat these during Chuseok time. We just wanted to make it a bit more contemporary and a bit more fun for people to be introduced to Korean food. So we've got kimchi fried rice, which is, you get that anywhere in Korea. Dumplings, mandu, we really tried to focus on making it vegetarian just so that we can approach everyone. Yeah, it's been a very fun project.
And a whole lot were given away on social media, right?
Yes, yeah. All 50 boxes.
And have people received them and they are already cooking them? Or are they holding off for Chuseok tomorrow? What's the deal?
I hope they've cooked it off.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. we did it like a week ago now.
Okay, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I've seen lots of people on Instagram posting what they've cooked.
Cool. But if you are listening to this and haven't cooked your rice yet, maybe everything other than the rice.
Yeah, cook another batch of rice just in case.
So when I think of Korean food, it's a relatively recent discovery for me, but is you know, it probably started with, you know, doing live barbecue and what does High Street become?
Lawn Street.
Then more recently, people like David Chang,
yes,
fried chicken, and then obviously the huge rise of kimchi as well.
Yeah,
we got sent a briefing pack from the embassy. It was quite exciting. I felt like I was a spy or something.
Receiving an email from an embassy.
New Zealand is a really big consumer of kimchi.
Yeah, it was like number 11, right?
Yeah, and sixth highest among Western countries.
That's crazy.
What are the other countries above us? Obviously, Korea.
The briefing package wasn't that.
No, among Western countries.
So we're 11th in the world, but yeah. I'm assuming places like
China.
Japan and China order more.
With big Korean populations as well.
Mm. But sixth.
Do you think it's a per capita thing? Because that would be extremely impressive if it wasn't.
What is Korean food when you think about it? What are you cooking when you're cooking food from your heritage?
Lots of love.
Lots of umami for me as well. Like,
yes, there's a lot of funky flavors. In Korea, there is this crab that's marinated in soy, and it just, the soy has enough salt to preserve it. So you don't cook it at all, and you eat it raw, and you suck out the guts out of it, and ooh, it's pretty grotesque, but it's delicious.
Was your mother the cook in your household?
She was a solo mum, so she was working a lot, and right, she wasn't like the conventional Korean female.
Yeah.
So she worked a lot of her time, and so when we came to Korea, she had to learn how to cook, and that was the first for her because we just always would eat takeaways. And
when you came to New Zealand from Korea?
Sorry, in New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So she had to learn how to cook, and that was a fun experience for both parties, I think.
Are you a better cook than her?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, no hesitation.
So when you went, did you go to chef school?
Yes, I went to NSIA in Albany.
Oh, yeah.
And did like a diploma there.
How long is that diploma?
1 year, yeah.
Right.
Just 1 year.
I wanted to quickly back check and test you two and myself. Who do you think you're a better cook than your mum?
I think I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say yes. Listening. Sorry, Pam.
It's going to be controversial.
I think it's taken me a long time, but then I went and did actual training at a cooking school, and I needed that to beat her, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I got there yet.
I
can't beat my mum.
We're all quite different
off your
cooks.
Mum's bacon cooking skills on this podcast, though.
Well, yeah.
We don't have a microwave in the studio, unfortunately. Mm. But yeah, I think, you know, it's like you can't compare apples with oranges. Like, my sister's quite a different cook to me. And then my mother is a different cook to her, so...
Difference in, like, what you guys cook? Or?
Yeah, so my sister tends to cook more Mediterranean and, like, meat-focused dishes. Mm. And then she uses shitloads of herbs and everything, which I love. And then my mother is quite a traditional French and Italian cook.
Mm.
And then I love cooking Asian food. Maybe we all need to live in the same house.
Yeah,
totally.
And what would you be eating on Chuseok?
So you'll be eating a lot of dok, which is rice cakes. And there's a whole variety of different rice cakes. And you'll be eating rice cake soup, which has egg, anchovies, slither of rice cakes. And that's sort of to celebrate. You eat that in New Year's as well.
Yum. So is that like the rice cakes sort of act like dumplings in the soup?
Sliced rice cakes, yeah.
I've been texting with our Korean friend Paul this morning. He told me to ask you about pajeon, and apparently that's a super secret Chuseok food. What is that?
I don't know what pa is, but jeon is a Korean-style pancake. Like this, you eat a lot of jeon, like depending on the household. So when I went back to Korea in Chuseok, we ate perilla leaf jeon, which is sesame leaf with beef mince inside, and then you fry it on a big frying pan with egg as your mix.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
But, yum.
Pajeon. I should know. I don't feel Korean anymore.
This is making me hungry. What's your favourite Korean restaurant in Auckland?
Terrible is a really good one. They do like sundae, like Korean blood pudding.
And is it more traditional or
very traditional.
Fashionable?
No, it's traditional.
What do you think of all these fashionable modern Korean joints popping up?
Yeah, I like them. Yeah.
I think it's made the cuisine really visible and accessible and exciting.
Yeah, totally. And like, you know, in the famous words of like David Chang, like authenticity does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of cultures molding together. Into
yeah,
a
like
melting
that. It's almost like a bao bun. It's a milk bun at Gochu with the beurre blanc all over it.
Ooh.
Oh my god, it's delicious. When they said it had beurre blanc on it, I thought he had used a Korean word and I just didn't hear it. So I was like, the beurre blanc? And then he said beurre blanc. I was like, oh, right. So the French sauce.
Yeah.
Why do you think it has become so kind of trendy, Korean food? Is it just something different that people hadn't discovered yet?
I think kimchi's definitely come trendy through health wants, like a lot of probiotics in kimchi. But I don't know. I think it's just like it's just delicious.
Yeah. Koreans do.
Maybe I'm biased.
It's big
fried
flavors,
chicken right? Really well, and
yeah.
I think
yeah.
we can all agree that that's gone viral.
Yeah, totally.
Can you say that anymore in 2020?
Gone viral. It's got a new meaning now.
Yeah,
but yes. That's funny that it's the health probiotics of kimchi and. And fried chicken at the two Trojan horses of
totally
food. yeah
but that, fried chicken just seems to be like the thing that keeps on keeping on.
I mean,
we just need a new trend.
Yeah.
I wrote an article last year for an appliance distributor, and the title of it was Fried Cauliflower is the New Fried Chicken, and they said more people clicked on that than anything they've ever posted.
Really?
I was like, it's just because they saw the words fried chicken.
Yeah.
Well, there's fried cauliflower recipe in here. That went out in the satellite box.
To try it out anytime.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's another thing I think of when I eat Korean food is it's quite spicy.
Yes.
It's got a zut to it, a real
heat. Like a real kick.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just big flavours, isn't it? And people like that. It's not really subtle. Well, I'm sure there is subtleties in it, but
yeah, totally.
I think that's why it goes, and you know, it goes well in with sort of drinking and things that people
lagers
like doing. Lagers, yeah.
Can you explain why, A, you share all the food, but B, traditionally you eat in silence? Because to me, sharing's like, you're talking and eating and sharing.
Yeah, I don't think it's as regimented as maybe I mentioned that it's just the culture that, I don't know, I've just grown up with. When you're eating, like, the food is the focus.
Yeah.
And you're appreciating the food. And I find that now, that when there is silence in the dining room, it's just the biggest compliment that you can get.
Yeah, because right.
They are just, you know, fully immersed in the food.
I think that often happens naturally, and you know you've done well.
Totally.
As the chef, when that happens, there's been a vibrant conversation throughout the waiting period, and then suddenly the table's quiet because everyone just can't stop engaging with their food.
Yeah, and it's hard to talk with your mouth full, you know? Like,
yeah, I quite like the idea of eating in silence. I hate it when I'm just like, shut up.
I think I would eat too fast because I get too excited about how delicious it is. I think I need a bit of a yarn to slow me down. Japanese culture, there's an equivalent saying that is, if you're eating, just eat. It's about mindful eating and actually being present in
chewing
the moment
and
chewing your food and tasting it and feeling how it feels in your body.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand that.
I ate by myself at Hiakai last year, and it was really like that. It was a really interesting experience where I wasn't photographing the food. I wasn't trying to explain my feelings about it with someone else that I was with. I just got to sort of appreciate it and understand it and, you know, have this moment with it. It was a really amazing but quite weird experience.
Mm.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was. I highly recommend going out somewhere that's really dedicated to not just feeding you, but giving you a sort of start to finish experience.
Yeah.
I handed my phone over to the waitress and just really engaged with the food. It was really, really fun and exciting and odd.
Yeah, I think eating alone is like very underrated.
Oh, I love eating alone.
Same.
It's so good.
You find it so hard to be alone at all other times, Ellis.
I have critical FOMO, you know, but...
Same. I think I'm too extroverted to even enjoy eating alone.
I don't know, like at lunchtime.
Really peeps.
Not so much here, but in other places I'd work, you know, and I'd want to go off and have lunch by myself, and then someone would be like, oh, when are you going for lunch?
Maybe it's a huge compliment to your colleagues at the spin-off that you'd like to eat in their company.
Yeah, maybe. No, I think it's just that I don't have time to take lunch breaks.
Yeah.
Never eat alone at Chosok, though, right?
No, never. You're surrounded by family.
And is it extended family? Like, everyone's invited?
Yeah. But it just depends on, like, let's say if my wife was Korean, she would come to my Chosok rather than going to her family's Chosok.
Every year she has to. She can't go 1 year. We do one year Christmas with my husband's family. Next year is my family.
Yeah, traditionally, like, she'll be married into my family. But
yeah.
I'm sure things have changed now.
But there are some still quite rigid social traditions in Korea. The friend Paul I mentioned earlier, he's talked about how when you're out drinking, you know, you can't go home until the eldest has decided to go home as well. The youngest is always paying. Is that right?
Oldest is always paying.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like a real benefit to anyone that goes out with the eldest. But yeah, you're right. Like, let's say if you go out with your colleagues and your boss go out drinking, you can't go home until your boss has finished
That is awesome. And also, what a great way to make sure that the older generation is still relevant. They've still got it. Everyone just wants to invite them to dinner all the time. I love that.
And if they invite you, you cannot decline.
Really? Yeah.
Shall we make a drink and something to eat?
On that note.
So I'll make the drink, but can you tell me what to do? It's a soju mixed with beer.
Yeah, and people can get pretty like fanatic-y about it. There is like a certain ratio that you should go by. So it's one shot. In a way, it's like 1/3 soju and 2/3 beer. Some people can,
What sort of beer would you traditionally use?
Cloud's great. Height, whatever you find in Korean barbecue places.
So we've got I like this note on the back of the soju. Jinro uses bamboo charcoal filtration to produce the cleanest tasting soju with less hangover.
No, that's not true.
I love that though, like marketing yourself on basically being vodka but without the hangover.
Yeah.
Kia ora, this is Toby Manhoe. Please forgive my interrupting this podcast, which is a very good podcast indeed. I just wanted to alert you to the existence of another podcast, a politics podcast called Gone by Lunchtime. Join me, Annabelle Lee Mather, Ben Thomas, Merv, the bad boys of Brexit, and a paddock full of baby yaks every week in the lead up to the election for a recap of all the biggest, best, and most ridiculous developments from the campaign trail. Subscribe now wherever you normally listen to podcasts.
Kia ora, my name's Duncan Grieve and I'm Managing Editor at The Spinoff. This podcast, like so much of the work we do at The Spinoff, is made possible by the support of our members. To find out more about The Spinoff members and how you can help us keep producing quality, independent journalism, visit members.thespinoff.co.nz today.
Oh, I don't know if you guys had a night out on soju, but it's horrendous.
I feel like I remember once at some party when I was about 19, someone had soju and it being dangerous.
Yeah.
So those are very diverse teenage years, Alice.
It would have been a party at like with a bunch of white kids in Calbin or something in Wellington, but someone had been to Korea and had soju, so it wasn't that exotic.
Wow. We definitely went through a phase of drinking like exotic spirits. There was Midori was quite big for a while.
Ooh. I'm not sure Midori. Yeah, is not sure exotic, that counts. It's like,
isn't it?
It's green.
Pardon?
It's green.
Yeah, but it's traditionally Japanese melon-flavoured carry-on.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know.
Is it artificial?
I mean, the flavour tastes like fake melon, doesn't it?
Have you guys had a melona before?
No,
what's that?
Oh, man. Definitely need to try it. It's like a Korean ice cream, melon-flavoured ice cream.
Okay. People used to just raid their parents' liquor cabinets, I guess, and just whatever was going.
Yeah.
No, I definitely grew up on Heineken and Glenfiddich.
What a la-di-da.
My dad had a couple of friends over and they were going to do a sort of a whiskey tasting session, and he opened his cabinet for the first time in 2 years. Oh, this is a lot smaller than I remember, and it because I'd had it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my sisters used to top up them
with water.
Yeah.
Which I always just thought was such a rookie era. Like, you're definitely going to get caught, just not today.
And then you just grab a chopstick. A spoon and a chopstick, and then that will mix everything together.
Oh my god.
Or like, there are other ways that you can scrap two chopsticks like this. And then just mix it together.
Is there a big drink? How would you compare the drinking culture in Korea with New Zealand?
It's pretty heavy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like Korean culture is like work hard and play hard.
Right.
So like after work you would just... Yeah,
everyone drinks.
Yeah,
on a bender.
Weekday, weeknight.
Really?
Yeah,
sounds quite similar to Japan, like the salarymen.
Yes. Yeah.
There's that similar culture in Japan where you can't go home until the boss is. You'll find
it's probably more polite. You know, you probably have to put them to bed and
in their perfect bed with their perfect sheet.
Yeah.
Salarymen who had missed the last train home and were asleep in the squat position on the platform and were just going to have to go back to work in the morning.
Fuck.
Oh,
Koreans,
God.
I once heard someone describe Koreans as like the Italians of Asia. Would you say that's right? Like really like fiery and emotional and fun.
Yeah, or like I'll say Italian / German
because
we can be quite blunt.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Jihee is definitely blunt, I'll give you that, our colleague.
But, like, ironically, there's a lot of pleasantries and traditional manners as well. But, maybe professionally when you're working or, like, when you're asking someone, they'll just tell you what they think.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? That there's a lot of... I read something recently about a... Thank you. About a Danish woman that had been living in London for quite a few years and she was only just getting used to, if you ask someone something, you have to sort of say... I'm awfully sorry to bother you. If you don't mind for just a moment, could you please consider? And she's like, in Denmark, I'd just be like, pass me the paper. You know, people think she's rude.
I think that's great.
Yeah, right? It
must be hard coming to New Zealand and working out what things like yeah, nah mean.
Yeah. I heard someone yesterday say yeah, nah, and then the woman next to him goes, yes, yes, no. I was like, she's doing yeah, nah, but the longer version. Yeah.
So
okay.
Could you pass me another beer?
Of course.
Has Korea got a craft beer scene?
Yes, it has.
Yeah, I thought
just,
it would.
Yeah, in the last 5 years, it's been booming over there.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, let's try it. So when would we be drinking this? What time of the day?
Not 10 a.m., I'm guessing.
Well, maybe for some people, I don't know.
Yeah.
Chewsock.
Is it an after work kind of?
This one? Yeah, this is like...
Same time as a beer.
Yeah, what you'll have like during barbecues. There is like...
No, it's not doing anything. Maybe it is.
There's usually like tall glasses that you get in every barbecue house, and you just put the whole chopstick in. It's like this much submerged, and you bang it, and it mixes everything through.
I like it.
Korean equivalent of cheers.
Kombe.
Kombe.
And it's not so like in Europe, like Western culture, you always look at people in the eye.
Yeah. You don't have to do that?
No, you do. No, you don't. You just go cheers.
Great. Because I find that quite stressful, the eye contact.
Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
Also, there was a thing that I read where you pour someone a shot and then they have to drink it, but they don't look at you while they drink it. But then you have to pour them a shot.
It depends. Yeah, like if I was pouring for Alice and I don't know how everyone's ages, but if I was pouring for like an elder.
Alice is the elder.
I'm the elder.
Significantly. Then,
respect me.
Yeah. I should drink away, really. But you usually drink away from them.
Right.
And then after... you've taken the shot, and if they would like a shot, they hold their glasses and you pour with both hands.
Yeah.
As a sign of respect.
And what, you pour with two hands or one hand and the other hand's on their hand?
Yeah, usually it's just always like this.
You just touch?
Yeah, you just go like this and pour.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you can do it with both hands like this as well.
Maybe we should celebrate Chuseok properly next year and do all of the things.
Yeah.
This is just as like a, like you do it any time around the year.
Pouring rules.
Yeah, pouring rules, drinking rules.
Yeah.
Anytime. Like when
it'd
you're
be
out
so weird
college.
If I was in the middle of a convo with you and I was like, great point.
Yes, no, thank you.
Yeah, so it's like rude to face you while I'm sipping, just the act of sipping, and then it's fine to look back straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if I've got someone on both sides of me? So I'm like, look away from you, but then I'm
they're both older than you.
I know, right?
I just feel like...
No, but is there just one elder?
You step away.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like there's one at the table? So would Alice be treated as the elder?
Yeah.
Or
is it
then that you have to do that to me because I'm older than you as well?
Yeah. Oh. Depends if we're friends or not as well. But like I'm just meeting you now.
Yeah.
And I don't know how regimented it is now with modern times and a new generation coming.
Yeah.
But usually I would drink away from all of you guys.
Uh-huh. And if we're friends, it's chill. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, but that's a hard privilege to get to.
Oh, like, really? You've got to be like really good friends.
Like you've got to be real good buddies, yeah.
But oh my god! Imagine if you had like some friends that you were really good friends with, and then some that you just kept turning away from to drink. You're like, you're not quite there yet, Simon.
I feel like we're there, so
you're there. You're there.
Me and Alice more like colleagues.
Ooh.
Drink away.
Oh my gosh! How funny.
I'd also just like to point out I'm only like a few months older than Simon, so I'm not as, you know,
as elderly as your peer.
Yeah, it feels a little bit.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Someone thought I was 55.
Oh my gosh.
It was a bit sad.
You know,
how old were they?
Got a bit of salt and pepper in the
beard.
15?
No, they would have been like 35.
Wow. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Same age as you.
That's brutal.
It's what having children does to you, I think. So this is delicious. I really like the way the soju sort of provides a sharpness and like a cleanliness to it. It's
I'm not a massive beer drinker, but I've noticed I tend to like things that have beer in them. So in Mexico, a lot of like micheladas we were drinking.
I like them.
And I like the idea of this because it's, it's sharper and it's lighter.
It's very drinkable.
Mm.
Because what is the soju, like 20% or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
The one that you guys bought is 21%.
Yeah.
Is that the standard pour?
That's the original, yeah.
I can see daikon.
Yep.
So what have you brought to make us today?
So today I'm making gaktugi, which is a fermented daikon kimchi. I've got in this container some salt and sugar, and I'll just mix that through. And then during the interview, I'll mix in the other chili and garlic and ginger.
Make as much mess as you want. I'll just clean it up.
Okay, sweet. So yeah, I'm just mixing the salt and sugar through. Salt, sugar, both. What they tend to do is extract moisture out of the daikon today.
Is daikon really popular in Korean cuisine?
Yes, yeah. Daikon, you usually have it in kimchi or you can have it in stews as well. Like there's a very good stew called meontang, which is made out of fish. And you have fish frames, you have every part of the fish, and you have braised daikon and potato at the bottom.
Yum.
It's very tasty. It just absorbs the stew flavour.
Cool.
And are there lots of different kinds of kimchi?
Yes, yeah. Hundreds. Mm. There's like eggplant kimchi, cucumber kimchi, anything that you can ferment, they've done it, you know.
And it's the household normal run-of-the-mill kimchi, a cabbage of some sort?
Yep, wangbak kimchi.
And when I think of fermentation, I always think it takes a long time.
Mm.
Is that not necessarily true?
Depends. So I guess Koreans have developed like a niche taste of it, but it depends how sour you want. And it depends what you're eating. So like something like soup, like kimchi stew, you want a very sour kimchi, which has taken at least a week or two to ferment, or even longer sometimes.
Because that's going to flavour the whole broth.
Yeah, right. Yeah, add the acidity and the umami. But let's say if you're at a barbecue or you're just having a bowl of rice, you want something fresh, so you have kimchi that's only like 2 or 3 days old.
Do you know that's why dogs bury bones? It's to allow them to ferment.
Oh, really?
Really?
And release the goodness that fermentation
wow.
creates. And they just like their bit of funk on their bone as well.
So interesting, because that's an instinct, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, dogs they know always they trying to bury bones like under the in carpet, just like desperately trying to push carpet over something. And I'm like, it's not going to work, mate.
Yeah.
It's like the dry aging.
But that's I think it's quite interesting with kimchi for rookies, it's so easy.
Mm.
Like, put it all in a bowl, put a bunch of salt and sugar on it, toss it all around, shove it in a jar.
Yeah, forget about it.
Yeah, push it underneath some liquid, ideally.
Yeah,
and you're done.
I've got to make kimchi.
Like, 3 days later.
Sauerkraut the other day.
Mm.
So easy.
They're so similar.
Yeah.
It's just different flavors.
What defines good or bad, then? Is kimchi really hard to fuck up?
It's hard to fuck up, but at the same time, you can get very specific with it, like the texture
of kimchi.
Yeah,
like for each occasion.
Yeah, as well as right now we're doing the marinating process, and for this size daikon, which is like a centimeter and a half, you want to marinate it for an hour, 30 minutes to an hour. And what that does is you're getting the ideal texture, and you'll rinse it in water so that it stops drawing moisture out, and then you'll add the spices in, so essentially, you're just picking at what texture you like. If you like it really firm, then you'll probably marinate it only for a shorter second. Or if you,
What's your spice mix? What's your magic spice mix?
Magic spice mix here is Korean chili paste. Chili powder, sorry. Garlic, ginger, spring onions, and a bit of soy sauce. Usually, you'll add like fish sauce or an oyster or two in there, but
really?
I just keep it vegetarian. Yeah.
Oyster.
For kimchi, you can add like any
oyster sauce.
Oh, oyster sauce.
No, you can add oyster.
An actual oyster?
Yeah. Ah. It's in the recipe too.
Oh, cool.
It is too. 8 raw oysters or 150 gram shiitake mushrooms.
Yeah.
That is such a vibe. Yum.
How is oyster sauce made? I was actually thinking about this on the weekend.
Oyster sauce is made through dehydrating oysters and until they're black. And then after that, you'll just boil water over top and reduce it. And that's how oyster sauce is made. But is that Lee Kum or I forget what it's called?
Yeah, Lee Kum Kee.
Yeah. Their ones, I think, is synthetic.
What's synthetic oyster?
Well, they've thickened it with like sugar and thickened it with other things rather than having a natural.
Oh, like it's not pure.
Tomato sauce, isn't it?
I thought you meant they just had some sort of lab oyster on the go.
Extracted like the exact flavor molecule.
Oh, wow, that's actually quite clever.
It could be. Yeah.
That's happening though. Like certain oyster sauce will be lab oyster.
Yeah.
But sauces like that always trip me out. Like, how many sesame seeds do you think it takes to make a bottle of sesame oil?
Ooh.
That must be.
It's a lot of seeds.
Millions.
Your obsession with sesame seeds always comes up in the pod. Eh? Love it.
I think
are good.
I can't think of anything that sesame seeds don't go on. Like, I put on ice cream. I had peanut butter toast, and I had some toasted sesame seeds.
I think if you keep going, there's going to be like a no, Simon. Don't put sesame in there.
I can't think of anything
I wouldn't put it in like Italian food.
It's good.
I wouldn't whip it through a carbonara.
You should add just like a little bit of texture and a nuttiness.
I'm not sure, Simon.
No, I think
but I take your point. They're very versatile.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I've been watching MasterChef Back to Win. Has anyone else watched that?
No.
MasterChef Australia?
Yeah.
It's the only good MasterChef.
I have not watched MasterChef for 10 years. So it's literally the people that nearly won the show. So like Poe and Callum, do you remember them? They're back on the show with the other 9 seasons runner-ups and they're all cooking off against each other. So the cooking is epic. The food is like looks amazing and it's great.
Is it George?
No.
The little ball guy?
George Columbaris. Remember there was a big...
Oh, he's,
yeah, he got cancelled.
He exploited his stuff.
Well, okay. I actually think that's an interesting... We'll talk about it another day, but he actually had fobbed off the responsibility of payroll to someone else who had then not paid out proper annual leave. And then as soon as he was aware of it, he came forward, spoke about it, repaid the employees and apologised and still got just
still like, cancelled
over the coals and all his restaurants are closed and everything. I thought it was really sad.
Because he looked like an MMA fighter. Like he really changed his body shape, which is what I wanted to talk about. But
can I go back and
also
ask
for another day?
Kimchi?
Yes, what is, please.
What's the Korean chili powder called?
Gochugaru.
Yeah, that's right. Gochugaru. Yeah,
this is what we have here.
Yeah.
What makes it unique?
Gochu is a variety of chili that's just grown.
Where do you buy Korean chili powder?
And you can buy them from like Asian convenience stores.
Okay.
Usually like even like Taiping will have.
And is that only, that's what that, all of that is just the Korean chili powder?
Yeah.
It's like shiny flecks.
Yeah, and you can and you can get it, like that's coarse. I prefer coarse.
Yeah.
But you can get it really fine as
okay.
well.
Okay, that's why it looks cool, because it's coarse, I think.
Yeah.
It's would not what I was expecting.
Gross for me to taste, or should I try it?
I'll give it a mix. And you can have a taste.
Because he's got spring onion and soy sauce and stuff in there too.
Yeah.
You know, if I come to the shed,
yeah.
Will there be kimchi snuck into the menu and gochu and
like subtly? So I'm doing like a lot of charcuterie at the shed at the moment. We're getting whole pigs and. We're breaking it apart, and I made some salami, which is one's like Fenokiona, which is Italian salami, and then the other one I experimented with Korean chili, garlic, and ginger. Because it's,
Awesome.
A very famous Korean dish called jeolbokkeum, which is like stir fried pork with like gochujang and gochugaru.
Yum.
It's really interesting just tasting that. It's quite distinctly Korean, though, as well. Like it reminds me of the Korean places I've visited. There's
Are you the head chef at Tomoto?
Yes, yeah.
And do you live on Waiheke?
Yes, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Do you know, I've been to the shed when Bronwyn Late was cooking there and I had a kimchi pancake.
Yeah, Bronwyn loves Asian food as
well. Yeah, she'd like put lots of interesting influences in her food, eh?
Yes, yeah. She's at 372 now.
Love 372.
And is this, good this is your first head chefing role?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that Woo-hoo! Exciting to be able to have control over a menu and sort of sneak attack people with your heritage in there?
Yeah, yeah. It's been like an exciting venture for me now and still now, like presently.
How long have you been in the role?
5 months.
That's so awesome.
How exciting. Yeah. You have a busy Waiheke summer coming up.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
A lot of Auckland is coming through, so... I mean, like, yeah, I don't know.
Bloody townies.
Timoto's a winery for our
for you
listeners?
Taking over in May and then having a year like we've had, that must be stressful.
Yeah, it was. It was very stressful. Like, the day that I got offered the job and told Black Estate, it was just, like, so ambiguous because we just didn't know what was going on.
Is Black Estate a job in Christchurch?
It's North, North Canterbury.
Oh, yeah.
That big, beautiful white. They have,
it's real good. They have lovely wines.
Music.
Yeah.
Like, it's a venue.
They have a very good taste
of
music, yeah. I think Connor Moccasin played the,
they're
like,
cool.
couple
I've
nights
met,
ago.
I've met the owners. They're really cool.
Penn and Nicholas?
Yes, I think I got drunk.
So how did you get poached from, I was going to say, how did you get poached from Canterbury to Waiheke?
So a friend of mine, Rory Dunleavy, he's part of the family who owns Tomoto.
Oh, yeah, the Dunleavys, yeah.
The Dunleavys, yeah.
One of them was my niece's creche teacher in Devonport.
Oh, I've met Sam, I think, who's another family member.
Yeah he's the winemaker now.
He's kind of like Devonport on an island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
with a few lunatics and activists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely talking about a small part of Waiheke.
Yeah.
Diverse place.
Yeah, very diverse. I love it.
Can I ask a quick food question about your recipes?
Mm.
What are garlic scapes?
Garlic scapes is usually like the byproduct of the garlic itself.
Yeah.
And it's just like a shoot, like this long, circular.
Is it the green thing that starts to grow when you keep your garlic?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Ah.
What does that look like in the supermarket?
In the supermarket, it's just like thin cylindrical stems.
Are they in a bundle? Like
they are in a bundle, yeah. Like
with
five
like a
or
piece
six.
Of tape around
them? Yeah, with a yellow tape around it.
Okay. I think I know what you mean, but for some reason I thought it was a garlic chive.
Garlic chives are like sort of like
spring onions.
Chives, yeah.
Vibes, yeah.
So we're looking at a garlic scape now. They're like curly tentacles.
They look like long fingernails.
What's the difference in flavour?
So it tastes garlicky, of course, but it's quite subtle. And then the texture is, it's hard to explain. It's sort of like a bok choy, but they're not as watery, a little bit more dense. It's a lovely texture and you just stir fry it and have it as a panchan, which is a side dish in Korea.
And I've just opened a choco pie.
Mm.
Can you tell me about these?
Choco pie.
And is this a
Korean?
Well, I actually did a bit of research in the morning before coming here, and apparently these originated from the United States. Mm. And they have a slightly different variant. It's like a biscuit rather than a sponge.
Okay.
But it's the same with marshmallow and chocolate on the outside.
It's pretty delicious.
Mm.
Similar to a mallow puff, really.
But, yeah.
You know, in the same family tree of the mallow puff.
And are you getting together to celebrate Chuseok with your friends and family?
I'll be calling my brother and my auntie and my uncle in Korea. And celebrate it with them.
On Zoom?
Messenger or Zoom, yeah.
If you're Zooming an elder and you want to sip your drink, do you have to just shoot off screen?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really funny. Like, I never got, like, I was growing up with all of these traditions, but then to put it into practice, like, when I went back to Korea last year, I was, like, certain things you just don't do in front of your elders, like have a cigarette.
Yeah.
With your uncle. And my mum was just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh.
Like, are you serious? And I was like, where am I?
And you're like, mum, it's chill. I'm from New Zealand now.
Yeah, yeah. And my uncle was like, oh, it's all good, you know? But and he was really relaxed about it. But usually, like, there is just certain things you don't do. Like, after the Chuseok meal, I was, like, so tired because I've eaten so much. And then I was lying down. And my auntie was like, hey, get up. Like, you're not supposed to, like, show that you're relaxed in front of your elders.
Okay.
Like, you can't even lie down, no?
I just don't know how you can not do that after Chuseok. Like,
yeah.
I imagine you've eaten so much that you need to, you know, recompose yourself.
Yeah, and just relax, right?
Mm.
But, you're supposed to be just always sit upright and show that, like, you're attentive.
When I was a young boy, we'd always go out to Indian for my birthday. That was my choice.
Mm.
And I would eat so much food that I'd have to go and lie down on the concrete out on the street to sort myself out. But we're really honoured that you've joined us for Chuseok. It's really cool to have you on Dietary Requirements and learn more about Korean food, because I think it's such an important part of the potential of food and the way we share it. And I'm really, really excited to engage with it in a completely different way now and to visit you at the Shed over summer.
Thank you for coming.
Thank
so nice to meet
me.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you to Jane for recording.
Thanks, Jane.
Hello for Lover, I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.